Praise the Lord. We open the Word of the Lord tonight, reading from the beautiful book of Exodus. From the book of Exodus, the 33rd chapter, beginning with verse 18. Praise the Lord. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. I want us all to pray right now. Let's ask the Lord to do what he wants to do tonight. I would feel very uncomfortable if I thought that this service was just another service on the schedule of the youth activities of our district. I would especially be very disappointed tonight if I thought that this moment were just another moment in our lives when we were privileged to hear the word of the Lord. Not being overly presumptuous, lest it be egotistical, yet I feel that at this moment, this can be a special moment. I do not idly say that we can return to our churches tonight.
We will let God touch us, and he is the one. Hallelujah. He is the one. And he let me know everything was going to be all right just a moment ago. Because when you can feel that touch, then you know that his will be done. So his will be done tonight. But I want us to pray that we will open our hearts completely and just let God talk to us tonight. Can we? Let's all pray. Dear Lord Jesus, oh God, we are hungry tonight. We are hungry tonight for you, God. Oh Jesus. Stretch forth your hand, God, tonight. Touch our souls. Oh, paraya satalam, oh, paraya satalam. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you for your presence right now, God. Let your will do what it wants to do tonight, completely, in every heart. Every heart. We've got to have you. We love 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 you. Praise God. Let's love him now. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're here right now. Thank you that you're going to move on our hearts tonight, God. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Glory. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I have just read to you a very beautiful passage. I want to go back just for a moment and italicize one word. In the 22nd verse, the Lord, when he told Moses, that there was a place by him, and that Moses would stand upon a rock. He said, "It shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift." A clift. Now that's not a mispronunciation. Not a cliff. That's C-L-I-F-F. But in a clift with a T on the end. With a T. Everybody say clift. "I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Now this word clift is the same word as cleft, C-L-E-F-T. The book that we all love so well and read so little from says this of the word cleft: an opening made by cleaving, a crack, a crevice, a split, a fissure, an aperture. Now let me read that very carefully again. A clift is a cleft. And a cleft is an opening made by cleaving. It's a crack, a crevice, a split, a fissure, an aperture. So the Lord told Moses, he said, "I am going to place you in a unique place. I'm going to put you in the clift of the rock. There is a crevice. There is a crack. There is a fissure. There is an aperture in this rock. I'm going to pass by, Moses, and I'm going to hold my hand over you. When I have passed by, I will lift my hand. Then you will be able to see me, but only in a limited manner. And what you see of me, you will see as you look through an opening in the rock." It's amazing how that our human eye can reach for many miles and capture images and bring them to ourselves. For example, your eye is so equipped that it can reach with a long arm. It can reach a mile and pull a mountain through that little pupil and focus it on the retina, that area behind your eye. And you enjoy the beautiful scenery. And you say, "My, what a lovely night." God has so designed the eye with a small aperture, a small fissure, a small little hole that we call the pupil, that we are able to actually see. I'll never forget talking to a blind man one day who told me that he had been blinded after seeing for several years. And in blind school, he had a man to ask him, "What does it mean to see?" For this man who asked the question had never seen. So he asked the man who once had seen, "What does it mean when people say they see?" And he did not answer that. But it tantalized me. I began to try to figure it out. How would you describe to someone vision? When I see Brother Fisker, what happens? And then I thought, as we were riding along that day, and he told this to me, we were approaching a large metropolitan area, and I began to see the skyline. And I thought, now what really is happening? And the best that I could satisfy myself was that somehow my eyes had hands. And with these hands, they were reaching out and tracing the outline of those buildings. Much like a blind person will trace the outline of an object that he may see it. And so I thought perhaps that's what seeing is. It's when we reach something beyond ourselves and we trace the outline and we enjoy what we call vision. Now, a camera, much like the eye, also is a very ingenious little object. The camera is able to reach out and capture an image and pull that image through the little aperture, through the lens, and focus that not on a retina that has the optic nerve attached and takes a message to the brain. And because of that impulse, we see. But a camera is able to cause that image. It is able to reach out there and grasp what it is seeing and focus that on film, so that many years later, after you're away from the mountains and away from the family reunion, you are able to observe that mountain because you have a picture. Now, all of this is possible because of a little fissure, a little crack, a little hole that God has designed because of an aperture. Let us go to the small town. Let us watch when the circus comes to the fairgrounds. Let us notice the hundreds as they pass through the gate to observe the antics of all the beasts there, all the trained personnel. But if we trace the circumference of that fence, we notice that all along there are little boys who either did not have the money to buy the ticket or wanted to pay that money on something else. And so they slip up there to the fence. They find a knot hole and they try to see what they can see free. Again, they look through a little hole, a little opening, a little crevice, a little crack, a little fissure, a little aperture. And as they stand there so excitedly, they are observing another world. The world that they are standing in is not exciting to them. Their going to the fence is an indication of that. I'm disappointed with what's around me. I want to see what's on the other side of the fence. And so the little boy walks up and he presses that little eye against that rough, round hole. And he looks in and he sees amazing things. He sees spectacular things. He turns quickly and he tells the little boys who are waiting in line what he is seeing. But they are not so interested in his report. They want to see it themselves. For they are there unhappy also with their schedule and with their life that day. And they want to peer through the fence and see what the circus has brought to them. So that little boy, as he stands there at the fence, in a way, he goes through the knot hole and into the circus area. He enjoys the beautiful things, the strange-looking things, the exciting things. But soon he walks away and he leaves that world. Or could it be that when he walks to the fence, that it's not really that he goes through the knothole to enjoy the world on the other side, but he reaches through the knothole and pulls that world to his world. Paul said, "For we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen." Now that seems like a paradox. But you've got to see the aperture. You've got to remember the little boy at the circus. That little boy is observing a world that's non-existent as far as the boys behind him who are concerned, if they have not seen it yet. For we look not at things which are seen, but we look at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now have a prophetic aperture. And they observe the future as though it were the present. They stood in one world and look through the barrier into another world. And their enjoyment was misunderstood by their peers. Those standing round them could not understand. But they, Brother Rome, were looking into things that everybody else thought was non-existent, but it was because they did not have their eyes up to the fence. Hallelujah. So through the knothole, in the fence around the future, they drew the things that existed, but as far as this world existed, it didn't exist, and they drew those things to them and placed them on paper that you and I might enjoy them. So a prophet is a little boy at a fence. Oh, that's derogatory to speak of a prophet as a little boy. No, it isn't. For that prophet is limited. How much of that world can he control? How much of that world can he understand? He is only an observer, and when he leaves to write it down, he's a reporter. And then we read those beautiful words and we get excited. Let us watch as it comes each prophet's turn to peek through this prophetic fence around the future. Isaiah walked up to the prophetic fence. He leaned over. He placed his eye against the hole and excitedly said, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When Isaiah left the fence that morning, trembling, his wife probably said, "Honey, what's wrong with you?" And he probably said, "Honey, there's no way you can understand unless you walk up to that fence and see what I saw." Hallelujah, hallelujah. But he wrote it down. God anointed him to write those things that he saw, to write them down. They were passed on. Neighbors, nearby prophets would hear about Isaiah's tremendous vision, and they would come for many miles, and they would sit for hours, and they would pore over those scrolls that contained such an accurate account. of something that was going on in another world. And they would copy for hours and copy for hours, and then they would leave. 1947 at Qumran, the northwestern shoulder of the Dead Sea, a little boy was walking along and threw a pebble in a cave, heard it break a jar, crawled back in there and found something he didn't understand. He went and got his daddy, and his daddy looked at it, and he didn't understand it. He got somebody else's daddy, and pretty soon there were all kinds of people looking at that. And they found out that, in fact, they later called it the Dead Sea Scrolls. And God had miraculously preserved there in those old pottery jars, centuries old, a copy of Isaiah word for word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That was a time capsule that God had there to authenticate His word. Hallelujah. Well, that's something else. I'll preach on that later. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Micah. For Isaiah, you can't steal all the time at the fence. Isaiah, you enjoy it, but you've got to let somebody else come up there and see what's going on for the future of the world. Micah tiptoes, peers through the aperture, and prophesies, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth." Hallelujah! "He shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." And I just imagine after Micah saw that, he probably fell back. "What's wrong, Micah? Oh, you step up there and take a peek. Isaiah, I see what you're talking about. My Lord and my God, I just saw something. I saw the Messiah. I saw Almighty God Jehovah coming in flesh, and I saw Him being born in Bethlehem." Hallelujah! 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 Oh, Micah was not the only one. Isaiah was not the only one. In fact, there was a long line standing behind these prophets, so excited, so anxious to see, for they wanted to be a part of that something. And the Bible tells us that they desired to look in. They desired to get up there to that fence and take a peek. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Listen, when it came Jeremiah's turn, behold, as he stood there and began to tremble, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." Hallelujah! 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 Even Balaam standing in line, though of ill repute. Listen what Balaam said as he walked up there. This did not change his vision. He might have been a little mercenary. He might have had some other ideas. But this did not affect what he saw. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." What a beautiful prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. Yet Balaam stood there trembling. Yet Balaam stood there in ignorance, knowing that it was about the Messiah, knowing that he saw beautiful redemption for mankind. Yet these men, remember, were standing in another world when they observed these beautiful things that we read as already fulfilled prophecy, yet some of them, to their largest extent, are not fulfilled relative to the Jews. Hallelujah. As Jacob lay on his deathbed, I can see him leaning on one elbow, peering through that crooked knot hole, through the fence around the future, as he called his sons to him. You remember when Judah arrived, he said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh, until Shiloh, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And unto him, that's Jesus, shall the gathering of the people be. Hallelujah. Let's skip hurriedly all the way over to the New Testament. Let's go to the very last book. Let's visit a man that felt that he was all alone until he got in the right rhythm, until he got in the right sequence. Did you know we are never alone? There's never a bad service. There's never a bad time when we can understand who we are and where we are and what all's going on. It's just that too often we don't go to the fence. So John, feeling a little sorry for himself, perhaps and maybe not, but he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Oh, John. John, why did the Lord let you stand so long at that fence and write so much? But nevertheless, he did. And he did. Hallelujah. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." What you say you saw, John? You talk about a little boy at a circus. You talk about seeing beautiful things. You talk about seeing things that it was difficult to describe. He said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city." And I, John, saw the holy city. I have seen it. I have seen it. Hallelujah. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, adorned, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband." What did you see, John? He saw the New Jerusalem. He saw something that it took every BTU of the Holy Ghost to anoint him to describe. In fact, I sometimes think that all of those precious stones that he used to describe the New Jerusalem, I believe that God allowed him to use terms that we understand, that they are not necessarily those very things. For gold is something I know. Gold is something that you know. I believe somehow in some way heaven will not be anything that man knows anything about. John, what did you see? "Oh, I saw things that I've tried to describe. And the Holy Ghost has anointed me to describe them. But oh, listen. I'm so anxious to get back there. I'm so anxious to enjoy those things. I saw things that even to this day, if he could be living this moment after 2,000 years, he would not have figured it out yet. For we are still reading some of the things that he wrote, and a lot of folks can't figure them out. And some folks think they have them all figured out." So you see, by faith, then, we see the beautiful things. We see heaven, and we pull it through the aperture, and we pull it down into a Pentecostal service, and we enjoy it at New Life Pentecostal Church. We enjoy it at General Conference. We enjoy it at a camp meeting. And tonight, this is where we are. We are pressed with our eyes against the fence. We are not over there. We've got all of it over here that we possibly can. Hallelujah. In fact, I believe the Holy Ghost, when we have it down in our souls, that's all of heaven that we can get over here. That's all that we can squeeze through the knot hole and enjoy over here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 The Song of Solomon. Oh, we see a beautiful glimpse of our Lord here. The first glimpse that Moses was allowed to see when he had begged God to show him his glory was the back parts of God, the Bible says. Now somebody has said, why did God only allow Moses to see the back part of God? Well, I believe one reason he did. God was saving some of the revelation of his identity for a later date. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Why? To give the light of the knowledge. What was Moses' request? Show me thy glory. God, let me see your glory. But God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Hallelujah. That he might reveal something to us. All right, let's look at it again. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. To give the light, to give the knowledge, he said, of the light, or to give the knowledge of the glory of God. There it is. To give the knowledge of the glory of God in the what? Quote it. Face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Why? To give the knowledge of the... To give the light of the knowledge. There it is. Of the glory of God. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face, in the face, in the face, in the face of Jesus Christ. That's why God would not show Moses his face. That's why he said, you can't look at me and live. I'm going to reveal myself to mankind in such a way that Moses, if I'd show you now, you'd even die. For I'm going to reveal myself in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now in the Song of Solomon, we see another glimpse of God. Let's begin with the 8th verse in the 2nd chapter. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. Showing himself through the lattice. How do we see God tonight? We are looking at him through the lattice. He comes as close as he can to the church. This is the church here. He seeks his lover. And we observe him behind our wall. There is a wall now. And we are observing him through the windows. We are observing him through the lattice. And I can imagine the grill work on the air conditioning system over here. Very much like a lattice. God was there. Showing himself behind through the lattice. Do you ever really long to know God? Do you ever really want to know him as your soul and your heart yearn to know him? Do you ever long for that ultimate knowledge of God? My friend, we're going to have to wait a little while. For now we must be content to stand on a rock. There is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Lead me to the rock that is high. God holds His hand over us and He shows us His glory. But He does not show us everything. He appears at the window. Have you seen Him tonight? Oh, I have seen Him tonight. I have seen Him peering through the lattice work of the service. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I have caught glimpses of Him and it has thrilled my soul. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I know you're wanting me to read a verse and I'll go ahead. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. For now. For now. That implies it's not going to always be now. For now. I believe I could preach right now on for now, Brother Rowe. Hallelujah. Can you? For now. When you say for now, that means that there is something else. He said, for now we see through a glass darkly. Darkly. You see, there are three kinds of glass that we put in windows. Number one is transparent. That means you can see through it. You can discern images through it. It will let light through, just like those glasses back there. And then there is opaque glass. That means that you cannot see through it. You can't discern any images through it. In fact, no light will pass through it. But then there is translucent glass. That means that light, press your eyes against the translucent glass and you can see blurred images. Now that's what Paul meant when he said, for now, we see through a glass darkly. It's not that we're in the dark. We've got some light, but it's limited light. We've got some vision, but it's limited vision. But one of these days, oh, hallelujah, 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 one of these days, he says, but then, and how many preachers right now couldn't preach on but then? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Have a preacher in this house get up and with inspiration say, but then. Come on. But then. Hallelujah. Jesus, saint of God, labor on. Be faithful. Mother, that son that you prayed for so long, keep praying. That revival that you longed for so long, keep holding on to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When the devil backs you up against the wall, young people, you're starting to school now. He backs you up against the wall. You feel like throwing up your hands. Just wait a minute. For now we see through a glass darkly. But then, but then, but then, but then, but then, but then. Face to face, face to face. Hallelujah. In part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. But then, Brother Dugas, but then, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Let's just praise the Lord. Let's love Him. Thank you, Jesus. I've been talking to you for a little while tonight about vision. In fact, I have already introduced to you the other half of my message. And that's victory. You see, how did that come off? You see, when the first man who lived many centuries ago walked out of his crude place of abode, and by the way, the first man was not a grunting caveman. It was Adam who could talk. Young people, remember that. School started. Hallelujah. But when the first man looked up into the sky and saw that silvery disk, the scientists later dubbed the moon. From that moment until now, man has been intrigued by that strange sphere. In fact, after a while, artists pulling the moon through the aperture and focusing it on the retina were not satisfied to enjoy just a moment of the moon. They decided that somebody was going to have to capture it. And so an artist went out and he got the proper paints, brushes, and canvas, and what have you. It may have been roots, dyes. But he began to paint a picture of the moon. And the people of the village gathered around and they said, "My, there's the moon. And there's the moon. Which is the moon? That's beautiful." Well, of course, everybody knew that that was the moon, but here it was. He had captured the moon and placed it on paper. And it was beautiful. And this rocked on for many centuries, but man was not satisfied. Man peeking through the fence of space was not content to pull the moon and focus it on his retina for a moment, or even to put it on canvas professionally for 1,000 years. You know what he said? One day he said, "I've got to go to the moon." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you know what I'm going to preach, don't you? Come here and finish. Hallelujah. Man said, "I'm not content just to reach up there and pull it to me, but I've got to somehow travel through. I've got to leave the retina. I've got to leave the canvas. I've got to travel through the pupil. I've got to travel through the atmosphere, the ionosphere. I've got to brave all of the infrared and the ultraviolet and all the cosmic rays. I've got to get up there somewhere and I've got to find that moon and I've got to put my feet on it." And they did. And they did. Now some folks still don't believe it. But they did. It's just like those boys standing outside the fence. They say, "There's no circus in there." But it's just because they're not at the fence. You get up there and look at that great big elephant, and then you'll turn around and you'll say, "Boy, there is a circus in there." Hallelujah. You say there's nothing to the Holy Ghost, you haven't peeked at it yet. In fact, there's about one verse, or maybe it appears twice. I believe it appears once in the Old Testament, or in Isaiah. It talks about the wizards that peep and mutter. That peep and mutter. Well, that's really what we do. We peep and then mutter. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You look in and you say, "My, that looks straight." And you bring some folks to a Pentecostal service. In fact, one of our ladies, Sister Judy Cross, Brother Parker, yesterday evening, she rang the telephone. She's calling about a house, checking on a house. So these women check on houses when we don't know anything about it. And it rises to Skid Row. And so she was kind of checking on a house. And she got to talking to the real estate lady. And the lady said, "Well, I'm going to tell you right now, lady, I'm going to be truthful with you because I'm a Christian." And so Sister Cross said, "Well, I'm a Christian too." Of course, Sister Cross wanted to find really what a Christian was, you know, because she felt like the other one on the other side of the fence might not be the kind she was, you know. And so they got to talking, and she got to telling about the Holy Ghost. And the lady got so interested, she came to church that night. That was just a little while before church. She came to church last night. She sat there all through service. She told us after service, she said, "I have been praying at home for the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost." Praise God. But
some other folks come and they look on and they think everybody's crazy. They can't understand. But you get a peek. You get a true picture of this beautiful experience. And my friend, you'll matter too. You'll matter too. You'll talk too. Hallelujah. You won't leave the fence and say, oh, there's nothing to it. You'll say, boy, I've never seen such elephants. I've never seen such tigers. You ain't seen nothing till you've seen the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You talk about a service. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So man said, I've got to go. Now this is a little different. First, man looks at something, seizes it with the fingers of his eye, pulls it through the pupil, and places it on the retina. But this next procedure is not vision, it's victory. And that's when one of these days, regardless of what anybody says to you, they said they'd never go to the moon, but they did. And regardless of what the world says, regardless of what the modernists say, saints of God, we're going to leave here one of these days. We're going to go through the pupil. We're going to go through the ether wave. We're going to go through to heaven, our home. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand and worship the Lord. What I'm waiting for. I'm not content with that beautiful picture that faith is focusing on the retina of my soul. I want to go there. Hallelujah. I want to see at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, our feet is in one world. But our hearts in another. You talk about folks that are misunderstood. You talk about folks that are miserable. It's no wonder we can't get all excited about this world. This world's not our home. We're fixing to leave here. People say, but you're living here. You gotta live. That's right. The old prophet stood, Brother Fuller, in this world. But that didn't mean that he wasn't transfixed. That didn't mean that he didn't explore the hilltops of redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my, oh my, in sermons and song and testimonies and worship, how we explore those grassy slopes of that celestial city. How we wander about that golden place. And I'm so anxious to go. I'll fly away, oh glory. Fly away. Hallelujah, hallelujah, bye-bye. of it one of these days. And it may be tonight we're going to take off. Hallelujah.